Be. Are we okay up there? Sounds like it's kind of staticky. Are we good, Sam? Good Sam, the good Samaritan. Amen. I want to pray one more time before we get started here. Shall we pray? Loving Father, I come before your and we come before your presence. Guide my mind, Lord. I am but dust. Speak through me. And may your people hear what you have this day. In Jesus' name, amen. This really sounds funny to me for some reason. What's that? Hey! Hey! Hallelujah! Thank you. I can breathe. Yes. You know, I got to be honest with you. They say confession is good for the soul, right? No, don't they say that? I'll tell you, this is the hardest sermon I'm ever going to have to preach so far. I actually didn't even want to preach this sermon. And when the Lord impressed me to talk about this, I'm like, what? I mean, seriously, I was struggling. And the Lord, until I'm like, I'm going to preach a different sermon. And the Lord said, no, you're preaching that sermon. So we'll see what the Lord has for us today. Amen. Did you see the sermon title? Shouting what? Shouting fools. I'm like, Lord, what the? Okay. Let's read Matthew 5:22 again. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, I'll wait, I hear pages, Matthew 5:22. Are we there? Amen. But I say unto you, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. What? What? 1 Corinthians. Let's read this again. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a what? A fool. That he may be what? Why? This is such a contradiction. Think about this. It says, if you call a man a fool, you're in danger of what? Hellfire. And then it says, become a fool, basically. Let's read it. Let him become a what? A fool that he may be wise. This is a dilemma. And when God impressed me with this sermon, I was like, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. Now, in the time we're living in, think about this, church. In the time we're living in, would you say that there's a lot of shouting fools out there? Where if you don't follow this narrative, if you don't fall in line with what we're projecting, you're a fool. Isn't that what they're saying? In between the lines? Now, what's amazing about this, the Bible, This is incredible. The Bible references to a fool 69 times. 69 times. Verses about a fool. And only 47 times about a wise man. So the Bible talks more about a fool than a wise man.
Why would the Bible do that? You would think it would talk more about a wise man, wouldn't you? What is God trying to teach us? That is the question. What has God going on in God's mind? I want to read some scriptures here about fools, some more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10. Are we there? We are what? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Bible says we're fools. And didn't the Bible just say in Matthew, call no man fool? Or you're in danger of what? Hellfire. Incredible contradiction. Absolutely incredible. We are fools. For what? But ye are what? Wise. But you're wise. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. There's two different kind of fools. Did you know that? There's two different kind of fools. And I'm even going to go deeper with this. This is amazing stuff. In the eyes of the world, if you don't follow their system, you're a fool. You're a fool. But God says, become a fool for whose sake? For Jesus' sake. So God is telling us, the world has one interpretation of a fool, and I have another interpretation of a fool. Are you with me, church? We're going to learn some stuff here that's absolutely mind-boggling. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Amen. Where is what? Where's the wise? Where are they? Where are the wise? Is anybody in here wise? Is anybody in here a fool? We're both. We're both. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? God calls the wisdom of this world foolishness. That's an amazing statement. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of people that got a lot of letters behind their name. Follow what I'm saying? A lot of letters. I heard one professor say he had so many letters it was ridiculous. He said, I was educated in lies. My PhD, my doctorate, everything, all of it, I was educated in lies. How many here want to be educated in lies? How about wisdom? Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:19. Amen. For the wisdom of this world is what? Foolishness. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. Brothers and sisters, it's absolutely critical that we understand this. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. There are people out there saying stuff and trying to get us to think in a certain channel that if we believe them, it's going to lead us to destruction. And they are called wise. Wise in the eyes of the world. Amazing what's going on. Ephesians. I'm not even getting to my sermon yet. I'm just getting some backup here for fools and wisdom. 3:18. Ephesians 3:18. Did I get that right? No, I didn't. My bad. Ephesians 5:15. I'm looking at it going, no, something's wrong here. Ephesians 5:15. Amen. Ephesians 5:15. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as what? Fools. Not as fools, but as what? It has them both right here again. A fool and a wise man. God is always putting them together for some reason. How many of you here have children? You have children? You love your children? Of course you do. If you say no, talk to me after the service. We have to talk. Job. Book of Job. 30. Make sure I give you the right scripture here. 30, verse 8. Job 30, verse 8. We're there? They were children of what? Fools. Children of fools. Yea, children of base men, they were all viler than the earth. This is amazing. This is amazing. Children of fools. But yet God tells us to become a fool. Is there a different type of fool? There is. And we're going to find this out. Have you ever done something in your life? Now I'm going to get into my sermon. Have you ever done something in your life where you consider totally and completely foolish? Okay, anybody brave enough? We all have. Come on. You could raise your hand. It's okay. Come on. Don't hang me out to dry. We've all done foolish things, right? We've all made foolish decisions. Does that make you a fool? No. No. Yeah. That's keeping it real. We are living in a time where people are shouting fools, are shouting foolishness. Either. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Verse 9. Proverbs 23, verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool. Speak not into the ears of a fool. Why? Why? He will despise the wisdom of thy words. A fool will despise
wisdom. Do you see the difference between foolishness and being a fool? You could get into foolishness and someone say, "What are you doing? What are you thinking?" And you go in a different direction. A fool despises correction. Do you despise correction? Or do you accept correction? You might say it depends on who it's from. If it's from my spouse, I don't want to hear it. Did I say that? Can I keep it real? God is constantly trying to teach us. Are we listening? Or are we playing the fool? This gets deeper. Ecclesiastics. Chapter 10, verse 12. Ecclesiastics, chapter 10, verse 12. Are we there? The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The words of a wise man are gracious, but the words of a fool will swallow himself up. Where is God leading us with this thinking? What is the trajectory that God is trying to teach us through this? This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Isaiah. Chapter 14. Go down to verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will exalt my throne above the stars. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning, how thou art fallen, cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, verse 13, I will ascend into the heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. This is incredible. Satan said, I'm going to be God. I am going to run the show. Are you with me, church? The plot thickens. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. You know I like a lot of scripture. You want to hear what God has to say, not me. Amen. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And they prevailed not
praise God. And they prevailed not. Wow. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the dragon, the great dragon, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Brothers and sisters, I want to submit to you today that Satan himself was the first shouting fool. He had convinced all these angels. This is amazing. He had convinced all these angels to join him in his foolishness. You ever seen a riot? The Bible says there was war in heaven. Now, when we think of war, we think of guns and tanks and bombs and all. It wasn't like that in heaven. It was a war of ideology. It was a war of words. Where Satan, now the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Now picture this in your mind's eye. Satan and his angels shouting at the top of their lungs, "Your government is wrong, God. Your government is wrong. We have a better way." Shouting. And God, and all calmly, "Satan, please, please. You're heading to destruction. Please think about what you're doing. We love you. Don't do this. Don't." Shouting fools, they didn't want to hear it. God had to cast them out. Satan and his host were the first shouting fools. Would you agree, church? This is deep. This is deep. Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 1 to 6. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be what? Opened. And you shall be as what? Gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, excuse me, for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband, where he and he did eat." Brothers and sisters, this shouting fool came to our earth. And right there in the Garden of Eden, the human family took the advice of a fool. And as a result of listening to a fool, it caused the downfall of humanity. Now, I want you to catch this, church. This is what happens when we listen to a fool. When Eve ate of that, she changed instantaneously. Her thought pattern. Let me take this to my husband. You see, you want to take your foolishness to someone else and cause them to be a fool. You understand this, church? Satan had convinced the human race to believe his foolishness. And as a result, here we are today. Here we are today. It's amazing what happens. Genesis 11. Genesis 11. Chapter 11. Verse 1. And the whole earth was of what? One language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, let us go and let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime and they for mortar. And they said, let us build a city, a tower whose top will reach unto heaven. And let us make a name for ourselves, what they're saying, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth. This is powerful. You know what this is right here? You know what's going on right here? They're building the Tower of Babel. That's what's going on right here. They are building the Tower of Babel. Now, what's amazing about this story? This is amazing. When God looks down on the situation and sees what they're doing, what does God do? He says, oh, you guys are doing great. I love what you're doing. What does God do? He confused their language. As a result, picture it, church. The guy at the top's going, hey, could you give me a hammer? And the guy down goes, ¿qué pasó? And the guy underneath goes, ching, twang. It turned out to be a shouting tower of confusion. Shouting fools. They had rebelled against the Creator. Let me read what the Spirit of Prophecy says on this. It's incredible. The dwellers on the plain of Shinar disbelieved God. What did they do? God had told them after he had flooded the world that he would never do it again. And he put a what? A rainbow. So the problem with the dwellers in Babylon, they didn't believe God. They were in rebellion. That he would not again bring a flood upon the earth. They didn't believe God. They had the rainbow. They said, oh, well, big deal. We don't believe it. Many of them denied the existence of God and attributed the flood to the operation of natural causes. This is amazing. Others believed in a supreme being, that it was he who had destroyed the antediluvian world, and their hearts, like that of Cain, rose up in rebellion against him. They rose up in rebellion. God was trying to teach them something, but they said, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear what you have to say, God. We don't care about your rainbow. We don't care what you have to say. We're going to do it our own way. The Tower of Babel was a bunch of shouting fools because they had chose to disbelieve God. Is there another system at the end of time? It's called Babylon. Interesting. What was the Tower of Babel? In rebellion. Could that happen again? What's that? Oh, you want to come up and preach a sermon? You're right. Yeah. First Kings. I love when we interact together. That's what the Lord wants, because we're all learning together. Amen? I'm not preaching down at you. We're learning together. First Kings. Chapter 18. Verse 20. First Kings, chapter 18, verse 20. Are we there? So Ahab said unto all the children of Israel, unto who? Who? All the children of Israel. It's critical we understand this. All the children of Israel. And gathered the prophets together unto where? Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answer him not a word. Can I put this another way? How long will you follow a fool? If God be God, follow him. Verse 25. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it, for you are many, and call the name of your gods, but put no fire underneath it. In other words, put the sacrifice, but don't light a fire underneath it. Call on your gods. God is calling them to a showdown. He's calling this house of Israel and these false prophets to a showdown on Mount Carmel. And they took the bullock, verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until evening soon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor they answered, and they leaped up upon the altar. Picture this. Picture this. They're shouting at the top of their lungs. Shouting fools? Can we say that? They jump on the altar. But there was no voice, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass that as Elijah mocked them, God has a sense of humor. He really does. He's like, Elijah's, hey, what are you guys doing? Why are you jumping on the altar? Is this a circus? Elijah's clowning them. If I could put it that way. Am I right? And said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Neither is he talking, or is he pursuing, or is he on a journey? Preventure he sleepeth, he must be awakened. Maybe your God has took a vacation. Maybe he's on a lunch break. This is amazing. And they crowd aloud and they cut themselves. Do you see what happens, brothers and sisters? It's important that we understand what's going on here. Do you see what happens? They were actually cutting themselves. They wanted to destroy themselves because their God will not answer. Isn't that right? Verse 29. Actually, I'm going to finish up verse 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves in all manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. Verse 29. And it came to pass when it was midday, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor they regard it. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired
the altar of God. That was what? Broken down. Do you see the foolishness? The absolute foolishness that the people of God had sunken down into because they were following false religion. That's what was going on. They had corrupted themselves. And Elijah, verse 31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put wood in order and cut down the bullock in pieces and laid them wood and said, fill it with water. Fill it with 4 barrels with water and pour it upon the burnt, put on it the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And he did it the second time. And he did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also. And it came to pass of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art a God in Israel. There is a God in Israel. There is a God in Israel. God's modern day Israel. When the whole world is selling out to all these Babylonian ideologies, all this Babylonian way of thinking, all of this foolishness, God is saying there is a God in Israel. The true God. There's going to be another showdown. And that's where society is headed. We are heading for another Mount Carmel experience. Amen. With shouts of foolishness. Powerful. Hear me, O Lord God. Verse 37. Hear me, O Lord God, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned thy heart back again. Then fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water and the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they worshiped the Lord. He is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said, take the prophets of Baal. Verse 40. Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, Elijah, and brought them down to the brook of Shinar, Brook Kishon, and slew them there. This is powerful. God said, take these prophets of Baal and destroy them. Is there a last call in the Bible about Babylon? Come out and less what? And be what? Destroyed. God is saying, don't follow this shouting, foolish system. You need to turn to me, the one and only true God. Malachi. This is the last book before the New Testament. Chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4.
We're going to go down to verse 4. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. Remember ye what? Remember. Why would God say remember? What? Because they had forgotten. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto in Horeb for the all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Wow. Wow. Here, God is saying, at the end of time, I'm going to send my prophet Elijah to call the people back to worshiping the true God. Remember the law of what? Moses. We are heading to the exact same showdown that Elijah faced against his Babylonian world system shouting fools. Psalms. We're going to go to verse 53. Chapter 53, I'm sorry. Chapter 53, verse 1. I want you to catch this, church. Psalms 53. Psalms chapter 53, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The what? The fool has said there is no God. And they have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. This is powerful. First Timothy. We're going to tie this together. First Timothy. First Timothy. Chapter 6. Verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which was committed to thy what? Thy trust. Keep that which was committed to thy trust. Avoiding profane and vain babblings. Remember Babylon? Babblings, an opposition of what? Of what? Science. How many of are hearing today, follow the science? Am I the only one hearing that? Do you realize Lord, help us get this. The Bible says the fool has said there is no God. Do you realize that is being preached from every single university, every single school in the United States of America? Fools, shouting fools across the lands of our great USA. Schools are teaching our kids there is no God. Would you agree, church? I'm not talking Christian churches, although, sad to say, it has even crept into the religious world, into Christian churches, believing that evolution is reality. This is serious, serious stuff. Train your children. Train your children. Because I'll tell you right now, the foolishness of this world is going to capture their minds. It's going to capture them. God is counting on us. Amen? So what do we do? The question is, what do we do with this Tower of Babel teaching? Of this Babylonian mindset that has literally got the whole world involved. What is God's answer to all of this foolishness? Like a plague that has overtaken the world. What are we going to do? Just follow it? Fall in line? Is that what God calls us to do? No. Amen. At least one person said no. You're scaring me. Revelation 18. This is what God says to do. Revelation 18. Revelation 18, chapter 1. After these things, I saw an angel come down from heaven having a great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. This is powerful. With great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory to bring light to our understanding. People's minds have been so darkened by the preaching of fools, by the education of fools. You do realize that, don't you? And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Is what? Fallen. And has become the habitations of what? Habitation of what? Demons. God is saying the system is so broken, it has become the habitation of these shouting fools that started in heaven. Remember I said Satan and his cronies, I'll call them his cronies? They were the first ones shouting in heaven that God's government is unjust, God's government is a joke, we have a better way. God's saying that whole system is fallen. Satan's ideologies have fallen. The way Satan is trying to lead the masses has fallen. The question is, are we going to listen to God? That's the question. Are we going to listen to God's counsel? What's the Bible say? A fool rejects what? Wise counseling. A fool rejects wise counseling. God is trying to give us infinite counseling. Amen. Has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have waxed rich to the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice. Praise God. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, and that she be received not of her plagues. God is saying, come out, stop listening to this foolishness. Stop it. Come out. Come out. Get the counsel of the wise. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, at the end of time, it's going to boil down to two groups? You do know that, right? those that are following the shouting fools, and those that are following the wise and almighty God. We're going to be in one or two groups. That's what we're going to be. We're going to be following this group of fools, or we are going to be following the almighty wise God. Which group are you going to be in? Amen. It's amazing where this is all going and what God is trying to teach us through this teaching of foolishness and fool and the wise. So what is God's ultimate cure? What is God's ultimate cure for the absolute degradation of the human mind and what has been perpetrated on humanity and this Babylonian system? What is God's wisdom? What is God's direction? What is God's remedy for this madness? What is it? Go see a doctor? Okay. Go see a philosopher? Watch the news. You know, can I show you something from Facebook? I'm glad he brought that up. Let me show you what Facebook did to me. Let me show you what Facebook did to me. This is amazing. I use Facebook as a platform. I really do. Your post, they're addressing me. This is what they told me. This is what the wise people told me. Are you with me? This is what the infinite wise, the wisdom of Facebook, the almighty Facebook, this is what they told me. Let me show you what I posted first. And this is what they told me. This is what I said. The Bible, still the best-selling book. Why? Because it only can bring true change to hurting, broken, messed up people. This is what I posted on Facebook. Now you want to hear what they told me? I'm not going to tell you. You guys want to hear gossip. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're being foolish. I'm just kidding you. Laughter's good medicine too. Yeah. But this is what they told me. Your post goes against our community standards. We have these standards to prevent things like false advertising, fraud, and security breaches. We think that your standards we don't like. It goes against our system. You realize where we're headed? Facebook says if you post something the Bible's not, we don't want to hear that. That's foolishness, according to Facebook. Don't post that stuff. Don't do that. Fall in line. Line up with all the other fools. This is incredible what's happening, brothers and sisters. Like I said, we are going to fall into one or two groups. We are. We're going to follow the shouting fools of the world, or we're going to follow the Almighty God. So back to my question, what is God's remedy? Listen to Facebook. What is God's remedy? Come on, church, think with me. What is God's remedy? His word, amen, his word. Anybody else? The Bible, amen. I'm looking for a specific thing. The gospel, yes. Preach the gospel. Amen. Come on, church. Seventh-day Adventist, you should know this. You should know this. Come on, you want to make me cry up here. The cure is the three angels' message. But it's the three angels' message. Yes, it is the gospel, but all the other churches are proclaiming the gospel. You do understand that. See, that's why we have to keep it specific. See, that's why I didn't, yes, I agree with that. I did agree with it. But it's the three angels' message. See, God has convicted me that when I preach, tie it into the three angels' message. Because Ellen White says, nothing should consume our time but the three angels' message. So God's cure is the three angels' message. The first angel is what? The everlasting gospel. Worship him that created the heavens and the earth. The second angel, the hour of his judgment has come. And the third angel, Babylon. Let's read it. Let's read it, church. Come on. Let's read it. Revelation 14. We should all know this as Adventists. Revelation 14, verse 6. I saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice. Now here's what's interesting. Check this out. Check this out. It says saying with a what? A loud voice. What I call this sermon? Shouting fools. The shouting foolishness of this world is almost deafening. I mean almost deafening of the foolishness that's coming out of the world, where God actually tries to contradict it and says, or override it and says, with a loud voice. God is actually trying to override all this foolishness. Amen? Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Verse 9. And there followed another. And the third angel followed him, saying, with a what again? With a loud voice again. God is trying to say, are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? God is saying, are you listening to me? I mean, I got to raise my voice. Because the Bible says a soft. The Bible says the loud voice. And the Bible also says the leading of the Holy Spirit is like wind. But you hear, God goes completely to the other side to trying to get our attention. That's where we're at. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Verse 10. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And their smoke and their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image. And whoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is what's amazing,
In the beginning, when mankind first listened to the great rebel, the shouting of these tyrants, of these fools, and mankind fell, they ran and they hid in the garden. God shows up on the scene and says, "Where are you? Where are you?" Do you realize at the end of time, when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, there's going to be two groups. One group runs and shouts, "Let the rocks fall on us." At the end of time, there's going to be a group of people like shouting fools, yelling for the rocks to fall on them. Another group is going to say, "This is our God. We have waited for him." You're either going to be with the shouting fools, this is so sad, that are saying, "Rocks fall on us, hide us from God." Or the group that says, "Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, the wise ones." Let us pray. Loving Father, you have revealed, Lord, a truth that is amazing. You want us to be fools for Christ, where the world says these people are fools because they call follow Christ. But actually, we're wise. Lord, the whole world is following this Babylonian apostate, screaming, foolish system, Lord. But you have called us to follow the truth, to call them out of Babylon, Lord, and to the good news of the wisdom and the love of the Almighty God. Lord, help us to be faithful with this message, not to follow the foolishness of the world, but shout loud the glory and the majesty of you, the one and only true God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.